Everybody's okay. Great. Thank you so much for joining our the second session of the Life and Times of Rabbi Nachman. Just to point out, tonight is Netzach Shebenetzach. Netzach Shebenetzach is they say is the night of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman is Gematria Netzach. And in the best of the world, Netzach Shebenetzach, to say the sphere is open for Netzach Shebenetzach is a massive thing. Till today in the shul in Me'er Sharim, I guess this year they didn't do it, although who knows what goes on there. But I don't think that they got together, but Netzach Shebenetzach is a big night. It's a night of Rabbi Nachman. So we have a schus to learn together and to delve into the life of Rabbi Nachman on the night of Netzach Shebenetzach. Last time we talked about the backdrop of Rabbi Nachman in world history. Now we're going to talk about it within Jewish history. So we're going to go through everything that was going on during Rabbi Nachman's life in the Jewish world and how it affected Rabbi Nachman's life. Again, everything affected Rabbi Nachman. And the question, what was going on and what was Rabbi Nachman taking in from the world? So we're going to go to 1772 in the Jewish world. Before I start that, I want to start with one Torah from Likutei Maharan, which I think last time we talked about, we learned from Chaim on the idea of Rabbi Nachman being the Chiddush, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is a Chiddush, and the Arizal is a Chiddush, and the Baal Shem Tov is a Chiddush, and the Rabbi Nachman is a Chiddush. Right? Agadei Kach, that he said from the year, by the way, I looked it up, the Baal Shem Tov died 12 years before Rabbi Nachman was born. And he said the Olam was shocking. Okay, so we really have to understand that 12 years. But now we're going to go back to 1772. But I want to preface this with a Torah from Rabbi Nachman, probably one of the most famous Torahs. I'm going to share the screen right now. This is probably the most famous Torah, one of the most famous Torahs of Rabbi Nachman, Tinyana Memchet. Okay, it's like one of the code words. You have Resh Pei Bet, and you have also Memchet. It's like one of the code words of Breslov. So we're going to read from Veda, the underline, Veda. Sha'adam tzarech la'avra al gesher tzar me'od me'od. Va'klal va'ikar shelo yispachet klal. That's the first part of it. Now, everybody gets this wrong, right? Including the Wall Street Journal, right? The Wall Street Journal made a big deal. The Wall Street Journal put out, kol olam kulo gesher tzar me'od va'ikar lo lefached. But the words are not that. The words is Sha'adam tzarech la'avur al gesher tzar ma'od ma'od. Not that kol ha'olam kulo gesher tzar ma'od. Now because what we're living through, even the Wall Street Journal wakes up and says, "Oh, the world's a gesher tzar ma'od. Kol ha'olam gesher tzar ma'od." Rabbi Nachman didn't say kol ha'olam gesher tzar ma'od. A person can live again, not during our times. Our times, everybody feels a gesher tzar ma'od. But 3 months ago, nobody was feeling the Gesher Tzar Ma'od. 4 months ago, nobody was feeling the Gesher Tzar Ma'od. Bezor Hashem, in a month or two, I hope, the car of Mamish, we're not going to feel this Gesher Tzar Ma'od. So that's what Rabbi Nachman says. The world unto itself is not a Gesher Tzar Ma'od. He does not say, Kol Olam Gesher Tzar Ma'od, with all excuse to the song of Kol Olam Kulo Gesher Tzar Ma'od, the classic Kumzit song. Those are not the right words. And the Wall Street Journal has it wrong. It's not Kol Olam Gesher Tzar Ma'od. The only person who got it right was Adiran. Right, but the words are really the dasha adam tzarech la'avra gesher tzar ma'od. We have to go on the gesher tzar ma'od because life itself doesn't have to be on a gesher tzar ma'od. Life itself could be on a very, very wide bridge, a bridge that we're not afraid of anything. Okay, there's a lot to talk about this. I'm not going to go into. We're not learning this, but the reason why I want to bring it up because I believe that this really showed Rabbi Nachman's life. This expressed Rabbi Nachman's life. He was on a narrow bridge. By Rabbi Nachman, although he was very clear and cut what he believed in, what he didn't believe in his own personal life, we see a lot of different sides of him. Not that he was flaky and unclear and not sure, but because he was hakol. That when you're hakol, you're wide and you can be kolel a lot of things. And yes, the world becomes a gesher tzar ma'od. where not everything in life is so clear cut that these are the bad guys and these are the good guys and this is good and this is bad and this is ra and this is tov. By Rabbi Nachum, we're going to see that he was la'avar al geshetzar ma'od. Now, how does that fit in our lives? If we're learning this Likutei Maran together, we could talk about al derech avoda. We're not learning this Likutei Maran, so we're not going to talk about al derech avoda. What is a geshetzar ma'od? What does it mean that we have to put ourselves into a geshetzar ma'od? But definitely we have to learn this by Rabbi Nachman that everybody has to put themselves on a Gesher Tzar mode. But itself, life itself, no, it's wrong. Kol Olam Gesher Tzar mode is not the right way. We have to put ourselves in Gesher Tzar mode. I'm just going to read the rest because it's just so beautiful and we can't not read it. These are my favorite words from Rabbi Nachman. Veda Shiesh Ilan. There's an Ilan, there's a tree. Shigdei Lemalav Olam Shekol Ola Tzarech Lios Gadol Me'a Shonim. It's working 100 years to put out these leaves, and the leaves are coming out. It went through wind, it went through snow, it went through heat, it went through ice, it went through everything. He screams like a shot, like a bullet. Shikorn or Maitya. Totach like a missile, vavein and nimshom, and understand that nimshom mode. That idea of the ilan, that the ilan goes through so much. The tree, look at old tree. Go on a teal and Eretz Yisrael. You see these zaytim in the Galil. What it must have seen. It saw wars. It saw rain. It saw floods. It saw drought. Everything. And Rabbi Nachman, I think, is talking. He's always talking about himself. But when he's talking about himself, it's kolel, the entire world. That he goes through everything. A person in a person's life. If a person wants to, he can throw himself on a side. And not have to deal with life and not to deal with the complexity of life and have just a big, big, big gesher. Or a person can go on the gesher tzar ma'od and he's living through all of this, the ilan that waits 100 years and screams out that after 100 years that I'm here and I'm staying. That is the preface of Rabbi Nachman in Jewish history. And we're going to jump right into it, into the Haskalah movement. The Haskalah movement is really gaining ground in 1772. It really starts in Germany. And the main person that what's going on here is Moses Mendelssohn on your, I'll try to get the annotate of him. This is Moses Mendelssohn. And this is he's coming in on the scene right now. Now, really, it's happening in Germany, and many of the Jews are not following Haskalah. Many Jews didn't take to it. They're too poor and too not learned to care about Haskalah, at least in Russia. Maybe in Germany they had a movement, but the Russian government took to it very well because it ascribed to emancipation and to assimilation. So the governments went into it, and the czars really liked it, but the Jews weren't taking it so well. How did Rabbi Nachman feel about the Haskalah movement? So let me go back. If I would ask you guys, what did Rabbi Nachman think about the Haskalah movement, what would you guys probably say? Yeah, exactly, Josh. No way. Well, what are you talking about? Haskalah movement, Rabbi Nachman? So let's just see what Rabbi Nachman said about the Haskalah movement. And of course, Josh is right. Chaim Aran. We'll read just the bold. Va'amar Rabbeinu Zecharon Levracha Shal Gzeir Zos Tzrichim Gzor Tanis. We have to put a tanis on these Haskalah movements that's making the Jewish kids learn all different languages and all different sciences. V'litzok, v'litzok, L'Hashem Yisbarach Yosef Mal Kol Gzeiros. And we have to scream more than all the Gzeiros, even Gzeiros of pogroms. Ki Gzeir Zos Yitzor Gdolim Kol HaTzoros V'Rosh. This is the worst of the tzars that the Haskalah movement. Now, this only becomes really prevalent when Rabbi Nosson takes over. Rabbi Nosson is fighting them in 1840. It becomes really bad. Rabbi Nachman doesn't have the worst of it yet. We're going to lose the Jewish people. They totally leave the das. They totally leave the religion. And clearly, Rabbi Nachman makes it very, very clear not to go in this way, not to go in the way of philosophy, not to go in the chachmos. And Rabbi Nachman is very cute, actually. We're going to go back in the pictures. He says, and don't wear the blariot like the people of the, like those people of the people of chachma. And you can see the George Washington hairstyle that Rabbi Nachman was talking about from the Haskalah movement. Don't wear that. Don't get involved with that. Rabbi Nachman was very, very clear about not getting involved with it. There's only one problem to this story. The problem is that that Rabbi Nachman himself, he comes to Uman in his last 8 months of his life. And who does he come to? Who does he connect to? He connects to the worst apikorsim, Haskalah, Chachma, philosophy, anti-God, atheist that you could find in the Jew, in the whole Jewish world at that time. You have Hirschberg. Uman was filled with it. There was no Hasidic Rebbe that was able to live in Uman because it was too hard with the Haskalah movement. They took a liking to Rabbi Nachman. They saw Rabbi Nachman's a little bit different. I'm not going to go through the stories now, but it's very strange that Rabbi Nachman, the person who screams about them, forms a beautiful relationship with them. He's playing chess with them. He's learning. He's reading news with them. He even told his Talmud Rabbi Nosson to keep his relationship with Hirschberg. And he told even Rav Naftali, please keep in touch after I go. Please keep in touch with these atheists and happy courses. So what's going on here? Let's just see what in Chaim Oran. So Omar, mitchila ya olam tov v'achar kaf. Let me give background. Let's skip a little bit to the bold. Rav Naftali asked Akasha to Rabbi Nachman, saying, what are you doing? You came to Uman and you stayed in the house of Rabbi Nachman Nosson, and only then did you move to Yosef Shmuel. Now, Yosef Shmuel was a nice religious person. Nachman Nosson was part of the Haskalah movement. He said, why would you even go to the Haskalah people? What are you doing with them, Rabbi? Listen to this answer. V'heishiv lo Rabbeinu Zichron Levracha b'zu aloshon mash ehiksha rishona Hikushi Yeshana Mikfar. That which you asked at the beginning about why I'm connecting myself to these people as scholar, it's an old question. Why did the world have to be Tov Avo first? Right, like the Gemara, when I forgot who it was, one Tana says that why did the black sheep become before the white sheep before the world comes to say you have to Tov Avo. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a shalom world, and that's it. Why does he have to create with Tov Avo first? And that's the answer he gave him. So what does that mean to us? Anybody want to? What does that mean? What does Rabbi Nachman mean that he's answering? Don't you know that this goes back to the kasha? Why did Hashem create the world to tov avo? Okay, for the lack of time, you guys can think about it. It's a beautiful thing to think about. But he's saying that the world is not so clear. The world is not. Don't Rabbi Naftali. Don't oversimplify everything. That these are the bad guys and these are the good guys. But my Rebbe said these are the bad guys. Yeah, but there's tov avo, and I'm hakol, and I'm going to also connect to them. So yeah, so there is the Haskalah movement that Rabbi Nachman speaks very strongly against. On the other hand, that's the people he's connecting to in the last 8 months of his life. In fact, I'll tell a story that it brings on in Koch Ve'or, that when Rabbi Nachman died, so there's a whole big fight where to bury Rabbi Nachman. All the Talmidim said, let's bury Rabbi Nachman in the old cemetery. And Rabbi Nelson said, no, I'm telling you, he wanted to be buried next to all of the Kedoshim of the Heidemach of 1768. I want to be buried next to them, all the Kedoshim, the 20,000 martyrs that died. And all the Hasidim were fighting, and Hirschberg walks in the room. The atheist walks in the room. He goes, Rebbe wanted to be buried with the 20,000 people. That's where he's going to be buried. Hirschberg spoke. Everybody was quiet. And Hirschberg spoke. Hirschberg said that if Rabbi Nachman stayed around a little bit, maybe I would become religious. And Hirschberg lived the life of totally became a professor in university in England. For comparative religions, totally was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery. However, it's brought down in the Koch Ve'or that the last words on his lips was, Oy Rabbeinu, Oy Rabbeinu. That's Hirschberg. Okay, Hirschberg, we're not talking about, you know, like a nice Orthodox professor who's, you know, kind of dabbles around with like risky stuff. We're talking about an apikoros mamish. So that was the tov avo, that was the Elon. That was the Gesher Tzar Ma'od that Rabbi Nachman's living. Just another example, the Jacob Frank was one of the worst tragic figures of all of Jewish history. He was. He said he was a Gilgal of Shabtai Tzvi, and he converted to Islam, and then he could convert to Christianity. and they all baptized and they all killed them. It's a horrible, horrible story. However, the Baal Shem Tov went through great pains because of Jacob Frank, and they became known as the Frankistim. And Rabbi Nachman, you know, you'd think like, Jacob Frank. And of course, he would never align himself with Jacob Frank, but he went to Lemberg and he said, everybody, I'm going to the best doctors. Well, hello, Rabbi Nachman, I thought you weren't into doctors. No, I have to go to the best doctors in Lemberg. It was a kasha that's tov of Owen to itself. And he says later that the reason why he went to Lemberg was to bring a tikkun onto Jacob Frank, meaning that he's going into the tov of Owen. If there was one person in Jewish history that you would say was tov of Owen, it was Jacob Frank. Or maybe even more than Shabtai Tzvi, if you could say that. But they're probably equal. But yet Rabbi Nachman wouldn't let go of that evil. Again, he would call out the evil, he would write about the evil, but he would not let go, and he saw that there was a tikkun there. So this is Rabbi Nachman and the Haskalah. So for sure, he's definitely being affected by the Haskalah. What else was going on in 1772? We have the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon in 1772, the year that Rabbi Nachman's born, that is the year that the Vilna Gaon puts the Cheirim on the Hasidim. And almost you can say that done, like everything is basically done, and the machlokas is done, even though the machlokas lingered, but the massive machlokas was kind of done. And Rabbi Nachman didn't really have to fight that classic machlokas of Hasidim and Misnagdim. Although, again, is machlokas a bad thing? Of course machlokas is a bad thing. But watch what Rabbi Nachman says about machlokas. Again, this is the Gesher Tzar Ma'od. This is the Tov Avo. This is the complexity of Rabbi Nachman. Listen to what Rabbi Nachman says about machlokas. Now, machlokas, no one should ever be cursed with machlokas. It's a very bad thing. But let's look at Rabbi Nachman. He's always looking bigger. He's always looking, again, into the tikkun of things. Let's look at Likutei Moran Kuf Yud Dalet. I'm skipping a little bit. We're just going to do a little piece of this. Achafilu mishu meforsim kisheshal machlokas. A person becomes, he says, the best thing not to be meforsim at all, and nobody knows you, no one of machlokas. But let's see if you do become meforsim. And there's a machlokas. Hu to'elit lezeke machlokas mechasa lavai deze yochol amshich shefa leolam. Through the machlokas, you could bring shefa leolam. Velo imchu v'yikatugu alav mechasa shemayim be'ovim hu bechinas hatzadik al shem eishu b'mayim. That the tzadik who goes to eishu mayim, maybe that's where Kramer got the name of the book from, Eishu B'mayim, and the tzaddik goes to Eishu B'mayim, Haynu Av Avir Al Shem Zeh Nikra HaTzaddik Shamayim, V'zeh HaMechas HaShamayim Ba'ovin. The pasuk says, HaMechas HaShamayim Ba'ovin, Meloshon Avyos, that the Shamayim is the tzaddik, and you have HaMechas HaShem Ba'ovin. Ba'ovin is the Gashmius, the Ovin, which represents the Kashyus, and the machlokas, and the horrible thing that the tzaddik has to go through. Everyone's fighting him. However, the end of the pasuk says, "Hamechin la'aretz matar." With this whole machlokas, it's mechin la'aretz matar. Then, through this machlokas, he's able to bring to the world without any kitchuk from Shemayim. Because he has a kitchuk down below, he's able to bring kitchuk from Shemayim. So, again, machlokas. Bad thing, machlokas, run away from it. But there is a tikkun in that's a Gesher Tzar Ma'od that Rabbi Nachman's going on, that he would never start a machlokas and he would never look for a machlokas. But once there is a machlokas, this can bring mutter to the land. So that's another thing that was going on in Rabbi Nachman's life. We're going to talk about later Rabbi Nachman's machlokas within the Chassidish world with the Shpola Zaydi. But the machlokas, this snagdus. Rabbi Nachman wasn't afraid of that. Rabbi Nachman wasn't afraid. Is that better? No machlok is better than I'm not known. But once I'm known and people are cholik on me, this will bring Mashefa to the world. Again, he's connecting to the Tov Vavo. Okay, what else was going on in the world in this time? We're going to go to 1772. Which kever is this, guys? We didn't go to it on our trip. Anybody can guess what kever this is? This is the Magen Mezrich and Reb Zusha, right, in Hanapoli. This is the Magen Mezrich. They actually redid it very beautifully just recently. The Magen Mezrich. The Magen Mezrich dies in 1772. So he dies in Yutet Kislev. Rabbi Nachman was born in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So they overlapped a tiny bit. Rabbi Nachman wasn't even a year old when the Magen Mezrich dies. But the Magen Mezrich dies. Now, why is it important? The Magna Mezuj represented, all of his Talmidim represented the real beginning of Hasidus, as Hasidus is an institution. Meaning before the Magna Mezuj, Hasidus was an institution. It was the Baal Shem Tov kind of running the world and ripping apart Europe and changing the whole Jewish structure around. But then the Magna Mezuj has Talmidim, and all the Talmidim go out to Lita. Rav Aaron of Karlin goes to Lita. And then you have people going to Galicia, Rav Noam Elimelech. And then you have Rav Zusha running around. And then you have other people going to this place and that place. And you have all of Hasidus kind of like institutionalizing around all the different places. And of course, Rabbi Nachman has to be born right after that, because Rabbi Nachman would not be able to fit into that. Yeah, okay, this is Hasidus, and we're institutionalizing Hasidus, and okay, and you're going to go here, and you're going to go here. No. Rabbi Nachman, you don't tell him where to go. Rabbi Nachman had great respect for the Magna Mezuj. He says that every Chassid has to learn Leket Amarim, which most people said was the Sefer of the Magna Mezuj. Some Chabadskers like to say, no, he's talking about Leket Amarim from the Baal HaTanya. Most people understand the Magna Mezuj. So he had unbelievable respect for the Magna Mezuj. Let's not get that wrong. But also, it's pretty amazing that he was born right after that Tkufa, because he wouldn't have fit into that institutionalizing of the Hasidus. He didn't fit into the classic, here are the Talmidim of the Magid, and he's going to go here, and he's going to go here, and he's going to represent this, he's going to represent that. Rabbi Nachman's not going to represent anything. He's not going to follow that mold of, okay, my little job is to go here. My little job is to go there, and you're going to go to Lita, and you're going to go to Galicia, and you're going to go this. No. I'm the Chiddush of the world right now. I'm not going to go anywhere. And that's what Rabbi Nachman, I think, is very significant, that he's born in 1772. Let's just see now we're about to get into Rabbi Nachman being born in the Baal Shem Tov's house, the great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. But let's see what he said about him being part of the Baal Shem Tov. Now, it's very, very clear, and we shouldn't get this wrong, that the Baal Shem Tov and that Rabbi Nachman had unbelievable respect for the Baal Shem Tov, and he would sleep at his kever. When he was 6 years old, he would just sleep there and go to the cold mikveh every night. He would sleep on the Baal Shem Tov's. Who knows what he was doing there? But let's see what he said about being born in the Baal Shem Tov's house. So Sicha Saran Kuf Samech Vav. Shamati b'shmo she'amar. Ha'olim sovim shemach ma'shanicham neched Baal Shem Tov. People think that because I'm the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, machman zeh zachiti le'mejir kasev. This is why I'm so great. And everybody would come to him and say, wow, you're the grandson, the great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Ooh, wow. And everyone came to see the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Lo cheinu. No, that's not true. Again, you're not going to get me into that box. I'm the Tov of O person. I'm the Gesher Tzar Ma'od. I'm the Elon that's going to see everything. I'm not just I'm not the Mefunat grandson who has everything coming. Lo cheinu. Rakim davar echad etzlachti. I only was matzlich with one thing. This is what I got. Whatever that one thing is, we're not going to get into. It's the Koch Ve'or talks about that one thing is. It's basically hard work, but that's simply put it. Shivchi Aran very quickly. Amar shafilu ayam mizera eluki. Abal Shem Tov zecher kadosh v'racha. Rak afilu mayam mishpacha yeruda shvisal. Even if I was born to the lowest non yichustika family, hayezocha gam kein l'mashe zocha. Because I worked so hard, that's I was zocha to get to where I was supposed to go. Not because of the Baal Shem Tov. Mitzad Sheni, the Koch Ve'or, Rabbi Nachman says that Rabbi Nachman was from had a neshama from pre Chet Eitz Hadas. So again, the Gesher Tzar Ma'od. On one hand, he has like this high neshama. He's from the Baal Shem Tov. On the other hand, he said, no, that has nothing to do with anything. But of course that has something to do with. That's a Gesher Tzar Ma'od, the Rabbi Nachman's concept. On one hand, I'm the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. On the other hand, that has nothing to do with it. It's the hard work. It's the Gesher Tzar Ma'od. It's a Tov of O. It's that you're not going to understand it. Now let's go to the family tree, and we're going to go into the Baal Shem Tov, the family of the Baal Shem Tov, and see the family tree. How is Rabbi Nachman related to the Baal Shem Tov? Everybody good? Everybody good? I'm sorry that this is such a monologue. I don't love teaching this way, but okay, we're going to go to Rabbi the family tree. I'm going to get the annotation here. Okay, here we have Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. 1698 to 1760. He has a daughter. He also has a son named Tzvi. He has a daughter named Adel. Okay? Adel. Adel has, Adel marries Yechiel Ashkenazi, okay, and they have three children, at least that we know of. I'm sure there's more. There's Fega, Baruch HaMejibaj, who had a very interesting relationship with the Baal Shem Tov. We're not going to get into so much now. He's the one that told Rabbi Nachman to go to Breslov, by the way. But Rabbi Nachman had his issues with Baruch HaMejibaj, as a lot of Chassidus rabbis in that time. Rav Moshe Chaim Ephraim Misadiklov, that's the Degel Machane Ephraim, and we have Fega. Right? A lot of the house of the Baal Shem Tov was really dominated by the woman. You have Adol, Fega. Fega was considered like a Neviya. You have Fega. Fega marries Simcha Horendiker. Simcha Horendiker, who is the son, I believe, the son of Nachman Horendiker. Okay? Nachman Horendiker goes to Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, his uncle is Yitzchak Mirovich, I don't know how to say that. He actually, Rabbi Nachman sometimes said that my name is Yitzchak. When he went to Eretz Yisrael, he said, my name is Yitzchak. And nobody really knew why. Some people say because he was really supposed to be named Yitzchak, because Simcha wanted him named Yitzchak. He wasn't sure if he should name him Yitzchak or named him Nachman after his father. Ended up calling Nachman, but Rabbi Nachman said, my name is also Yitzchak. When he went to Eretz Yisrael, he says, my Eretz Yisrael, the name is Yitzchak. Again, the Geshet Tzarma, okay, so Simcha Horendiker marries Fega, and then they have a few children. They have Perel, it's a girl. You have Yechiel Tzvi, Yisrael Ameis, which is an unbelievable story. We're not going to get into that right now. He's buried right next to the Baal Shem Tov. He basically dies. We're not going to get into the story. He dies, and Fega brings him back to the Baal Shem Tov's cavern. Says, Baal Shem Tov, you take him. And the next day, they found him walking around like this dead person, dead child walking around the Beis HaKfaros, and he looked dead all of his life, so they called him Yisrael HaMeis, and we have the big one, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman ben Fega, Rabbi Nachman ben Simcha. Okay, we're not going to get into Rabbi Nachman's children right now, that will be for a later time, but that is how the family tree works. Okay, everybody good with the family tree? Rav Gerzi, we're okay? Okay. Okay, so we got the family tree, and that Rabbi Nachman is for sure related to the Baal Shem Tov. He's born and raised in the Baal Shem Tov's house. We'll finish off with very nice, beautiful stories. That we said that the Baal Shem Tov was a chiddush, but Rabbi Nachman was the last chiddush. So this story shows us a little bit in the Siyas of Baal Shem Tov to Eretz Yisrael. This is the Girsa of Breslov. Of course, it's the Girsa of Breslov. You'll see why in a second. I'll say the above outside. They were going on a ship. There was a horrible storm, and they had to throw out everything from the storm. By the way, the same story happened to the chair of Rabbi Nachman when one of the Hasidim, I forgot his name, was bringing it from Kremenchuk. He was bringing it from Europe to Eretz Yisrael, and they had to throw everything from the boat. And the only thing that he wouldn't throw was the wood of Rabbi Nachman's chair, which is now today in Mei Sharm. But that's a totally, totally different story. We're not going to get into that right now. So they had to throw things in the water. And the Baal Shem Tov said, just throw all my ksavim in the water. And his daughter, Adol, said, no way. I'm not going to throw that in the water. And then all of a sudden, here we have, I'll show you where we are. Achpeta amra lehem shialesh shuv. Rama shetov yoter l'shizuka ksavim. No, throw the ksavim in the yam. What happened? He also let's say me menu nechet kazed is going to be a grandson like this. Sheyichtov svarim yofin yotem avi Baal Shem Tov, that he's going to write more beautiful svarim than the Baal Shem Tov. V'kach also, and they threw it zokus aksam liyam v'nachayam mezafo, and the yam calmed down. V'toch kach ro shekrovim him liachad, and then they came to a certain island. And on the bottom here it says from Rav Yitzchak Bender that the mesorah in Breslov was that who was Adol thinking about? Which grandson was Adol thinking about? She was thinking about, it says, Aval anachnu yodim bibir ha-emes, shikavanosa ha-yisal, doneinu, moreinu, v'rabeinu, ha-kodosh, nachal nover, mikor chochma, asher shir lanu et zorah ha-kodoshim, v'gila sham, eitzos, v'toros, ke'ilu, l'magodol ha-katan, v'ada yom hazeh, hu ha-hu ha-rebi shalanu, v'eitzos, v'kodoshos, ke'yem, z'la'adol, nitzach, v'tochim, v'af l'achar, b'yas, m'shech, tzikeinu, l'achar, tchia, l'netzach. Those ksavim, he says, you could throw the Baal Shem Tov's ksavim off the boat because it's going to be a grandson. That was talking about the Nachal Noveh. That was talking about Rabbi Nachman. Okay, so we see that there was some chiddush that Rabbi Nachman had over the Baal Shem Tov, that Adol already saw it on that boat. Last beautiful story from the Veit Tzadikim. I'll say this story outside. The story goes like this. Hold on one second. The story goes like this. Let me look at you guys. You guys can look at this. The story goes like this. It was Friday nights. Yeah, Simcha Horendiker was running around the country. Again, all the men in Medjibaj were always running around. They were always busy. It was the women that were keeping really the ship running. The men were Simcha Horendiker. Rav Nachman Horendiker was a healer running around. He ended up in Eretz Yisrael. Now he's buried in Tveria. Simcha Horendiker is running around also to Eretz Yisrael and back and this place and that place and the Yichudim and leaving the house for months doing his Bodedus. And one time, Fega, it was Leil Tefillah on Friday night, and she was waiting for Simcha to come back, and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and crying. Where's my husband? And she went. She went to the Baal Shem Tov's kever, lie down after candlelighting, and lie down, started crying, and she fell asleep. And she had a dream that she was walking through a hallway, and she saw a light, and that light was the Baal Shem Tov. But there was a greater light right behind the Baal Shem Tov, and who is that greater light? And the Baal Shem Tov says, that will be your child. That will be your child. That will be Rabbi Nachman. And she knew, she woke up from the dream and Simcha came home. And that's when they had Rabbi Nachman. So from that dream that Fega had, that Rabbi Nachman will be born. So we see that there was a chiddush in the birth of Rabbi Nachman. Ad Kan, the Jewish history background. So we have the Maskilim. He's fighting them. And he's kind of bringing them also. He's fighting Jacob Frank. He's fighting Yaakov Frank. And he's doing tikkunim for him. Then we have the Gra. He's fighting. He's kind of fighting that battle of Isnagdus. But then he goes, no, Machlokas is very good. And then we have the Magid of Mezrich, where he's following that Baal Shem Tov and then the Magid of Mezrich. But he's not following that at all. And he says, even if I wasn't from that family. So that is a Gesher Tzar Ma'od that Rabbi Nachman's going, the Tov Vavo, that nothing's so clear and nothing so right on, understood. So that even in the Rekha of Jewish history, in the birth of Rabbi Nachman, we have like this unbelievable Chiddush that's going to kind of be on his own. So that is Rabbi Nachman in Jewish history. I'll open the floor. Any comments? Any questions? Rav Gerzi, Rav Judah, please, if you want to say any insights, I'd love to hear from you guys. Do you guys have to be unmuted, or you guys can unmute yourself? And any questions? Or we're good. Okay. Mr. Lilo Tov, have a great Netzach Shabbat.
Rebbe, I have a question.
Yeah.
It's not so much a question, it's more of a comment. I mean, it's, I guess inherently, you mentioned, I think last time, that in some sense, Rabbi Nachman, I wouldn't want to use the word contradiction, but it's a very confusing message.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around, is that, you know, there's, I mean, I guess life is never easy, right? There's no clear path in life. And so there's back and forth and there's different situations, but, you know, Rabbi Nachman, right. I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around everything that I'm.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's very, very complex. And we often say Rabbi Nachman wasn't flaky. It's not like he wasn't sure. Ooh, like them, not like that. One day he likes them, one day he doesn't like them. Not that he's flaky. He's just holding hakol. He's holding everything. I think Rav Moshe Tzvi always tells this story about the soda of the Baal Shem Tov to the, which Rebbe was it called? The Skolya Rebbe. He came to the dream and goes, let me give the soda. Rav Moshe Tzvi told the story in Breslov, right by Rabbi Nassim. And he said, let me show you the soda. The Baal Shem Tov comes to the dream, I'll show you the soda. And basically Baal Shem Tov jumps off the cliff and breaks off into a bunch of different pieces. And he didn't believe this is the life to jump off the cliff. And he realized that all the little pieces was the Baal Shem Tov, was the little pieces of the Baal Shem Tov. Each piece was a piece of Baal Shem Tov. I mean that each, although Rabbi Nachman was everywhere, he was there everywhere. It wasn't like, oh, today's Rabbi Nachman's there, and today's Rabbi Nachman's there. Today's with the Maskilim and not with the Rabbi Nassim. No, he was with the Rabbi Nassim, he was with the Maskilim. He was on the Gesher Tzar Ma'od. What does that mean for us? It doesn't mean for us to live a crazy life like that. Again, like I said at the beginning, al derech avoda, to understand the geshet tzar ma'od, is a totally, totally different topic, totally different conversation. For us, we should know that life, let's say, take a person, let's say, like David Ben-Gurion. That's very easy just to say, Rasha, but to say that, you have to walk on the geshet tzar ma'od and say, hold on here, you know, look what the guy did, and look what he almost had prophecy. Meaning that it's not so clear. Again, I don't know how much we should play that game, but Rabbi Nachman says, "Kol Adam Tzorich Yavor Al Geshet Tzar Ma'od." That doesn't mean that we have to be so, you know, but to look at things big.
There's also
Go ahead, Mark. I was just going to say in Chumash and in Tanakh in general, it points out, you know, we have all these heroes of our Tanakh. But it does point out some of their flaws, if you will. You know, so I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. That's why Shaul HaMelech couldn't be the hold of Malchus, because Shaul HaMelech was the perfection. Rav Judy, you want to say something?
I was going to say that Walt Whitman said that at the same time in history, at the same exact time in history, what was taking place was Walt Whitman said that that he contained multitudes. And anybody who's big contains within that bigness lots of different things. And there's an approach in psychology called dialectic thinking. Dialectic thinking essentially means that there are two things that could be equally true and real and both be contradictory at the same time. And they're both true. I'm happy about XYZ and I'm sad about ABC, both at the same time. I believe very strongly in this idea. I also believe very strongly in that idea because there's an element of truth and divine vitality in both of them, but they're contradictory. In other words, the bigger a person is, the more they're able to contain the entirety of creation, and the entirety of creation is a reflection of Hashem. So if Lahavdil, Walt Whitman is able to say it about himself, Rabbeinu was the source of all of the Chiyas in the generation, all the Chiddush in the generation, the Sod Olam, is able to contain kichol b'shamayim of aretz at the same time. Chal Hashem Agdula v'Agavura v'Tiferes v'Netzach v'Hod. The sixth sphere of the sphere of Yesod of the Tzaddik is kichol b'shamayim of aretz, and everything in heaven and earth is also contradictory at the same time. So it's possible for different things to be true and contradictory, and also be held within that place of called the Gesher Tzar. I think that's what that's it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Rav Gerzi liked that very much.
He liked the last story that you ended with. That's what he liked. Thank you, everyone.
Laila Tov. Amazing to see everybody. Bezer Hashem will continue. Next, we'll get to actually Rabbi Nachman's life, going to get marriage, moving on as Talmidim, and we'll see how far we take it. Bye to everybody. Great seeing you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mo.
Okay.
Rav Mo, you once told me a